Welcome, good morning everyone!
How ready for you were for that start?
We were very, very ready for this.
Coffee in hand, nearly spilled all over my laptop.
Oh dear.
It's been a rough morning in the studio, guys. Not gonna lie.
I think it's the weather though, it's playing on our feelings a little bit.
Also lack of sleep, it's great.
A little bit of everything, hey. I'm sure you guys can relate very much.
Oh, so, insane, lack of sleep. Today, we're going to be opening our eyes to the scary and not that, well, yeah, they're scary, not that scary.
They're truth. Quite scary, I would say.
Some of them are quite scary.
Facts about our eyes and people's, well, everyone's eyes, I suppose, including animals, and the great unknown, I suppose, and different diseases.
It's that actually exist, things that actually happen, and we hope that you'll be as shocked as we were when we found these out. So, starting right into it with the hard-hitting questions, eye transplants. There's a movie, I don't think I've told you about this
before. No, you haven't.
It's called The Eye. It's a thriller movie.
Shocker.
Wow. It's about this woman who gets an eye transplant, and when I first saw it, I literally thought that an eye transplant, you take out your existing eyeballs.
Isn't that how it works?
No.
I thought you just replace one with another.
You just replace the eyeball.
Because don't people, eyeball. I remember people in India, they donate their eyes after death.
Yes, so you can donate your eyes after death, but you don't transplant the whole eye. So,
right.
From the American Academy of Ophthalmology, there's a list of different transplants that you can actually get in your eye. So you can get a corneal transplant, which is your cornea. You can get also amniotic membrane transplantation.
Great.
which is basically just making sure that your eyes stay, like if you have super dry eyes and stuff, it's not like, not a little thing like, oh, my eyes are dry today, but mm-hmm. if you have like a actual issue, like a disease or an illness where your eyes are fully dried up so that they are constantly
Jesus. Okay. And they're so delicate as well. That must be such a technical procedure. And I couldn't even like imagine like getting to that place, like getting to that point in the first place, like having dry eyes for so long. Like, I actually did some research and a little bit of research, and I found this celebrity, Jennifer Aniston. She was like, she put in eye drops, like overdid eye drops.
OD'd. Oh, shit. Oh, my goodness. There you go, guys. Fun fact, you can OD on eye drops. Do not overdose on eye drops.
Yeah, she said she was addicted to eye drops.
Oh my god.
Which is just an interesting addiction to have, I suppose. And it was, yeah. So I just thought that was pretty interesting. It's just people like you wouldn't even suggest, like you wouldn't even consider having these sort of like dry eyes, as you were saying earlier. And it turns out, yeah, she did have a condition.
An addiction to eye drops. You know, yesterday, complete tangent, but we were in one of my classes, we were talking about addiction, and there was these like papers that were published in scientific journals that were saying Neanderthal DNA causes addiction. Like the headliner was, if you can't quit smoking, it's because of your Neanderthal DNA. Because apparently Neanderthals were predisposed to be addicted to substances that didn't even exist when they were alive.
That's definitely a play on your psychology as well, though, because, like, no one wants to be, being compared to someone who is less evolved, right?
That's like an ad.
It's closer to the apes. It's closer to the monkeys.
Yeah, you can be
monkeys.
To quit smoking. If you can't quit smoking, you must be a Neanderthal. They also had, if you are more sensitive to pain, you must be have Neanderthal DNA.
Absolutely. Like, my dad always talks about that sort of thing. Like, and I think that's so relevant, though, because people need to have that perspective, or people need to have that wake-up call that, you know, this isn't good for you. And, in fact, the Neanderthals were doing it, so get your life together.
You're too basic if you're doing that. Not smart.
Oh my God.
But it was just interesting in terms, because we were analyzing what they actually meant by it, but it was about that addiction. And so the article was saying that Neanderthal DNA was the reason that we are addicted to like opioids and drugs. And it's weird because the kind of drugs that we are addicted to these days didn't exist in their time. So just an interesting fact. Off the back of our last week's mask in the media.
Fake yes. News.
But yeah, when you mentioned addiction, Jennifer Aniston's strange addictions.
Strange addictions to eye drops. Super random.
But when you said eyes as being delicate, I just thought it was Isaac Newton who stuck a needle in his eye just to see what
I remember happened. That, reading that, it's not just, being there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 1600s, you were there. You remember
that's
that.
That's insane. And he was, yeah.
What he was seeing.
And so, like, the spots.
So, yeah, because when you puncture your eye,
it explodes? Or
yeah.
Does it explode? We don't know. I mean, no, it doesn't.
But it does not explode.
It doesn't explode.
It's like... How would I say? Okay, so it's
like an artery sort of thing, like you're puncturing.
You know bubble tea?
Yes.
And you have the popping balls versus the tapioca pearls.
Right, yes. So the lychee, is that the lychee ones?
Yeah, so if you poke one of those, it has like the skin and it'll pop.
Mm-hmm.
But if you poke a tapioca pearl, it just kind of squishes into it.
Right. So Isaac Newton stuck a needle.
Stuck a needle in his eye. And then he recorded what he saw. So he said he was seeing stars and black spots and all kinds of colors. And that's what happens because all this blood is rushing to your eye because there's a hole in it. And your cornea, your pupil, it's all just, well, screwed up now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you have the like muscles in your eye. And I always thought about this. If you know when you touch your eye, you like blink and you try to close your eye. I just think how he would have closed his eye. Like, that's your immediate reflex, putting a needle in.
How does he
eye
even record closed what he's feeling though? You're because like, I'd be in excruciating in. Okay. Pain, I'd imagine.
Yeah. Needle in. I am in extreme pain. I can see black dots. I just passed out.
Well, you never know. I mean, these, as we said earlier, these people weren't as evolved, were they? They were addicted to something. They had more addictions. So maybe this was his low-key. This is Isaac Newton's addiction, guys. We've made a brand new discovery here on the i2 podcast.
Yeah, you don't have to be smart to discover gravity. Oh, gosh. And there's another disease. Well, there's a lot of diseases that are related to eye.
Oh, no. I don't want to do this one.
Hyperthyroidism and just thyroid disorders in general can cause exothalamos. I don't think I'm ever going to be able to pronounce that. It's also called proptosis, which is where your eyes bulge out of your skull. So,
and I can see this on the screen. Like, I haven't opened the link yet.
Okay, we're gonna do a little reaction time.
So Jules has prepared like some photos. Of this disease.
Yep. So fun. You ready?
Okay. Okay.
3, 2, 1, click.
Right, I've clicked it. Oh!
So, Raquel's eyes are currently doing the opposite of what the images show and squinting in horror, trying not to see.
It's just so weird because, we're on Google Images right now with hyperthyroid bulging eyes, and it just looks like a whole screen of little eyes staring deep into my soul. But love that for me. Okay.
There was an athlete called Gail I don't know if it's Devers or Devers, but anyway. Yeah. Devers, if you want to Google that. She was 21 and she had hyperthyroidism. She lost like, she was an American athlete, so she lost 89 pounds, which is like, 40 kilos?
About 40 kilos.
Within like super quickly within a couple of months, she was a track athlete, and she had hyperthyroidism, and her eyes suddenly started to bulge. Like, she couldn't close her eyes. That's how much your eyes bulge of your sockets. And obviously that was like a big issue for her. I don't actually know what ended up happening to her.
And I'm just doing some research. She also had like some random nail thing as well. Like her nails, she grew her nails out really long.
Yeah, because, yeah, your nails, like,
bit of a strange athlete.
Like, your nails grow.
Oh, really?
I think that's part of it.
Wow, interesting. Whenever, like, we had the bulging eye sort of images, I just pictured, like, you know the Guinness World Records, like, book?
Yeah.
And my little brothers always used to, like, show me all of the Guinness World Records. And I remember, like, seeing the bulging eyes one there.
Did you? Actually?
And, like, the eyes were literally, like, just about, like, just out of the socket. Like, they just, like, literally popped, you know,
those,
them out.
Those glasses, those yeah. costume glasses. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Strings, and then it's just, like, wing.
Yeah. I mean,
that's what it's, well, not actually.
We'll speak more about that next week, won't we, when we have our Halloween segment.
Oh, yes. costumes, bulging
But, yeah,
eyes.
Going back to this athlete, like, she seems 3-time Olympic gold.
She was super successful. Wow. She was really young. She was, yeah. She was only 21 when that incident happened, and then she had to go out of sports for a while. And I can't remember, actually, now the details of what ended up happening.
I wonder if that would have been genetic or caused by something.
Hypothyroidism can be, but it is also very common in females.
Yeah.
And thyroid disorders in general are a lot more common than you realize. I think at least... Well, so the statistics are, like, somewhere around 50% of women in the world suffer some kind of thyroid disorder, whether that's hypo or
hypothyroidism. My goodness. She also began to develop blistering and swelling of her feet.
The thyroid is important. It's a...
Oh, no.
Oh, God, we're going too much science.
Too much. We're going too much into this. But, yeah, that's super interesting.
Another interesting fact... There is the woman who blinded herself with drain cleaner. Her name's Joel Schuping. She blinded herself with eye cleaner because she felt like she should have been born blind. And there was a video on Facebook a while ago. I have it saved, and I show people when it comes up in conversation.
It's like you think you're strange, and then you come across these sort of stories. It's like maybe I'm quite normal after all. So she thought she wanted to be, she was supposed to be blind.
She thought she was meant to be born blind.
Blind.
And it's
That's so random.
A mental illness where people are disturbed by the presence of a limb.
Oh, yes.
And I forgot what it's called, but they want to actually mutilate themselves because that's how distressing their limbs make them. And that's a mental disorder, and they seek serious psychological treatment for that, and I think that this is in line with that, and there have been psychology studies on this particular issue, on Joel Schuping, because that is something that is, you're posing a threat to yourself, and it's just, quite insane to think about.
And it's like, it's in your head as well, and like, I think that's like a whole nother topic you can completely talk about for hours
absolutely.
On end, but like, in the end, like, it all comes down to your mentality of, like, you it's not like your body is rejecting the limb.
Yeah.
It's more like your head, your mentality.
Yeah. It's similar to just the neuronal alignment and the way that you think, the complex thought. Because I was just thinking, when you have, like, your neurons with chronic pain and different pain receptors, if you feel pain in your, I don't know, finger, prick yourself or whatever, it goes, sends a signal up to your brain. But when you have some sort of issue... You might not have anything pricking your finger, but you feel pain in your finger. That's like different neuropathic pains or chronic pains. And when that happens in your complex thought, you end up with people who want to mutilate themselves because they are hurting themselves.
Right. So, I just think that's insane, like that story that she actually wanted... To blind herself.
Video,
I could not even imagine, like, a world without seeing people.
The video where I found this out was actually talking about when transgender first became a society issue, something that was important for people to discuss. Important to discuss. There was this sort of then big, I don't know, media... blowout of where do we draw the line, and they were saying that there were people, like a guy, an adult male on Craigslist looking for a nanny because he identified as a little girl. And the video talks about a really interesting perspective on how can you, if you want, if you're letting someone, like letting a child, a little girl, you know, she's struggling with her identity, feels like she's a boy, how can then you say that a grown man can't be a little girl? You know?
Wow.
It's interesting. It's really interesting.
We sort of ethical dilemmas as well. Like we were speaking earlier about, a few like segments away, but about like cultural differences or like cultural sort of competence and the way that like that would be accepted in some countries and not accepted in others. Like I know in Australia, like it's so much more accepted now.
Oh, definitely.
Transgender, yeah, or like
actually,
yeah.
What's it called? Abu Dhabi?
Abu Dhabi? Yeah. Or Dubai? Dubai.
You actually cannot leave the airport if you are transgender. You can't step into the country. So that was in terms of cultural.
And I know also in like a lot of Saudi Arabia, that it's actually like if you show... I know we're going off topic, but if like gay couples show like affection, public displays of affection, PDA, then it can be like a death sentence.
Yeah.
Which is just like so uncomprehendable. Like,
In this day and age, these things, you know, we live in such a privileged country for people who are in the LGBT plus community.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing back to...
back to eyesight? Are we talking about that today?
I don't know. We've gone off into perspectives, society perspectives.
I think that's where we naturally sort of talk about, though. And I think it's like it should be more spoken about because it increases awareness and it increases just our knowledge and perceptions. And like we might have different perceptions to other people.
For sure.
That, you know, of course, not to say that everything we say is correct, but it's just, coming from
our vision, our perspectives. And we are going to be getting some guest speakers on within the next couple of episodes to talk a bit more about their perspective. So it's not just us.
Yeah. So we thought for the first, first few shows, we will speak, but then we will get some, guests on.
Yeah. So other things that can happen to your eyes, not quite as shocking as eye transplants or proptosis, is accidental blindness, macular degeneration, as you get cataracts, glaucomas, aneurysms. These aren't common, but they are more common than things like proptosis, like where your eyes pop out. So when you have my grandma, she had a blood vessel burst behind her eye, and now she can't see in her right eye.
Wow.
And she was already going partially blind other way around. She can't see in her left eye. She's going partially blind in her right eye anyways. So
I think like a lot of them do come with age, like age related.
Oh yeah. Macular eye disease. Macular degeneration. That's the big one. There's actually a website. It's the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. And it has, if you look at common eye disease and eye disorders, it actually has photos of what happens to your eye when you have age-related macular degeneration. So you start to go blurry in the center of your vision, and you're still a little bit clearer at the outer rim.
And like the scary part is like when you do like reach this sort of part in your life, like you don't really have a choice. Like you have to get like surgery, and that's of course a technical procedure, and there's risk of losing your vision completely.
And that's not just so you just want every surgery comes with risk of.
But your eyes are just like. Like, so, I could not even imagine, like, any sort of surgical, like, drill, I don't know, like, tool.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, not drill, but, like, tool touching my eye.
Oh, Lord.
So, of course, like, a lot of them are age-related, but then also, like, genetic. But then, of course, what is coming, what is sort of to be sort of more prevalent in the world?
Oh.
What do you think?
I wonder, technological age, digital age, thinking about blue light, are we, Raquel?
Yeah, I think we are. So we do live in a digital world now. And not only are we like working from home, but we're spending up to 10 hours now on average on the average Australian
as well, starting so much younger.
Yeah, exactly.
Little kids who are on their on the phones, on iPads, and you just,
and it's a good distraction for parents just to throw their iPad at the kid and be like, just play with this. And like, we don't have kids, so I can't say this is for all parents, but I know a lot of parents, particularly looking in the public.
I can't imagine if you have, you know, of course, kids, they're kids. They're going to cause issues, have tantrums. And when you're just trying to get something done, you have your to-do list. It's a mile long. All you want to do is,
well, like, even just women are going more into the workforce, and like, the, you know, there's more girl bosses now than ever and pursuing careers. So if you want to have that sort of balance, like, this is a little bit off top indirectly, but like, you can't spend, you're not spending as much time with your kids, or like, you need to create distraction, or you need to have that balance.
A way that you can still, and like, there are lots of educational apps out there, and that's obviously,
of course,
you know, that's what you're doing, but
of course,
it's still like, you're putting your kids in front of screens. And again, not saying it's a bad thing, you know, it's very important. We learn coding. I remember in grade, what was it, 7, we started having to learn coding as like just a basic thing, because that's a skill that you need. Like, it used to be you would go to university and study IT or study something relating to computers, and you would learn coding specifically. But now you just have to know it as a basic skill, because everybody needs to be able to use a computer, use the basic Microsoft and Apple and all that.
And like, the same thing with the kids looking at screens, it, like, sometimes you can't even help it, right?
Yeah.
So kids, we're surrounded by screens. Like, everywhere. You go, you walk outside and you see, like, just for example, like, even when you're outside, you see like a billboard, or like, you see just like pop-up screens, like, or you go into shopping centers like Harvey Norman, screens everywhere.
The information panels are now tablet type.
Even just going into the store and like seeing all these artificial lights as well, like, that can still affect your eyes, like, you don't realize.
Well, there was a big shift into when, what are the cylinder, the hydrogen lights, the, you know, the
LED?
Hydrogen lamps?
No.
Not the LEDs, hydrogen lamps.
Hydrogen.
So they, like, when they break, they're actually quite toxic.
Right.
You know those ones?
Right, yeah.
And when they became popular, it was the white lights, because lights before that used to be predominantly yellow.
Yellow, yeah.
And now we've got a lot more of that white light and the blue
artificial
light. Artificial. I mean,
and it's not good for your eyes. And just going back to that statistic, Australians are spending 10 hours a day on average. Like, on average, every Australian is spending 10 hours on their phones and laptops.
And that's just Australia. Like,
and that's it. That's increasing day by day during isolation. As Australians are more resorting to entertainment, and you can see that with the statistics and trends of consumers, right? We are going towards purchasing iPads, laptops, for kids, for our grandparents, just for entertainment. Like, I know my grandparents are spending more time looking at their TV as opposed to going out there and volunteering or getting more involved in the community. So it's just,
but a side note, like, when your grandparents can use an iPad, props to them. My grandma, she, like, I mean, she struggles a bit, but the fact that she can basically take photos, FaceTime from Slovakia, you know, it's it's impressive. They had to learn how to use hang up for wall phones, you know?
Right, yeah.
And
then
the home
just adapting
device,
now.
And then not even that, like, switching to mobiles. This portable phone that you take with you, not just hanging on your wall or at a restaurant. Mm-hmm. You can take it with you. And now we've got touch screens and everything. Not just phone calls, but emails, businesses, shopping. You can do it. You can live in a computer.
And I think also, as growing up with surrounded by these technical, like, digital devices, like, we see it as so much more, like, easy to use and accessible. Whereas, like, these older generations are more comfortable and certain, and they understand where the information is going if they're using just a notepad, right?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
It's not going to escape the notepad, but
it's there.
Whereas we know we can do it on an iPad, and that's not going to get, like, wet, like, or like, it's not gonna just, you're gonna lose a piece of paper, right? So
yeah,
we understand
that can get thrown away.
And the security as well, like, they might have sort of scares with security, and that's
and
completely
data.
Understandable. But I don't know, I feel like just because I don't have much valuable information or confidential sort of information, that I'm more, like, accepting of using digital devices to store my information.
Yeah.
But yeah, it changes with everyone, I suppose. And props to your grandparents starting to use the iPad now.
Love that.
We love that.
So, technology, blue light.
Okay.
We're young and it's important to start to think about how much this is going to affect us in the future. People, our grandparents, our parents, were already starting to have to wear glasses in their 50s, 60s, and they didn't grow up with technology. We did. What's that going to mean for us in our future?
That's so true. Because we are the first generation who are going through growing up with our iPad. Like, I remember I got my iPad in year 7.
Yeah.
Or year 6 or year 5 for Christmas.
Yeah.
And that's when it first came out. Like, and we are the first generation. Of course, there were TVs, but, like, people weren't spending much on TVs and laptops. Like,
you wouldn't just look down, check the time.
Exactly.
Text.
You would look at your watch, right?
Yeah.
Your analog watch. Analog. Not even digital watch, which is just... Anyway, so, yeah, as you were saying, we are spending a lot more time in front of screens. And when we look at screens, what we're trying to say is when you're looking at screens, there's a blue light that's emitted. It's an artificial light.
Yeah.
And this can affect your eyes.
It affects your melatonin cycle. It affects your eyes. It affects your inside your cornea. You have cones and cylinders that determine how you see in terms of your focus and in terms of your how much color you see. It affects all of that. So super important to think about this. How, Raquel, tell us.
And of course,
protect this?
Well, like, no, I'm just going to say, like, in the short term, like, we all feel the effects of eye irritation, eye fatigue, and also, like, you disrupt your sleeping patterns, of course, as you were saying, with, like, the melatonin cycles. So this is all the short term, and we think, oh, it'll blow over, let's just have a coffee, like, let's have, you know, longer sleep, or these short term sort of treatments. But that's not sustainable for our whole life, particularly when we're looking at screens every single day of the week, of our lives, of the year, etc. There was a statistic done that, I mean, this statistic was like 5 years ago, but we're spending 30 years of our lives looking at screens.
That's crazy.
30 years.
That's crazy.
And
like, most of the time's not productive.
Oh my goodness. You just
spend it scrolling on Instagram.
And also these people, like, in offices or graphic designers who are always looking at screens as a job from their 9 to 5, and then afterwards going on social media on their phone, and it's just oh my gosh. Anyway, so, and like I said, there's a lot of short-term effects, but there's also a lot of long-term effects that we haven't experienced. As Jules pointed out, we are the first generation going through digital devices and long hours of exposure to these screens. So these long-term effects, which we just are just really pushing under the rug, and, you know, we'll deal with them later. But long behold, we will be dealing with them a lot earlier than our grandparents or our parents are dealing with them now. So, for example, macular cell damage, cataract degeneration, retina damage, all of these diseases can lead to a loss of blindness, which is just insane. And we were talking about earlier people who purposely, you know,
blind
themselves. Well, we're just doing the same, honestly. Like, if you look at it, we are just doing the same. And there's a lot of ways to prevent this. One, of course, being just getting off your screens. But inevitably, I mean, Jules can sort of back this, that, you know, we are students and we have to look at our screens.
Absolutely. I need it for everything.
Our lectures, tutorials, study.
And then broader life. Emails, different
YouTube,
contacts, YouTube,
Netflix.
Netflix, exactly.
Netflix is the main one. I mean,
yes.
It's really just Netflix that I'm concerned about. So we start off
by talking about horrific and rare things that can happen to your eyes. And I just keep thinking about the athlete with her
eyes
popping out. I shouldn't be laughing. That's really sad. Like, it is so sad. But
just really sad.
The fact of your eyes popping out, that's funny. We can laugh, that's funny. Going into actually relevant eye issues that we have. So we're gonna play a song, More Than You Know, and we'll be talking about the solution to the problems that we have right
off. And the problems that you might have as well. So we'll be back very shortly.